Well, welcome back, and we're talking to Goat Tree, who has been on with us several times before, and we wanted to talk about cyber polygon, cybersecurity issues, things like that, and we're going to talk about that. But as I connected with Goat Tree, he said, I've got something to say about what you've been talking about this morning. So let's start with that. Welcome, Goat Tree. Thanks for joining us.
Well, good morning, David. It's always great to be on with you. It's like I was saying, you get on these subjects. I had a show prepared, and I listen to you, and it's so strange. We're working on projects like you were talking about, and the stupidity of everything that's going on right now. And I thought, well, hey, you're on a trend. Let's run with it.
So is it artificial intelligence that you're working with? Some of that stuff that they faked the demo? What is it that you're working on that aligns with what I talked about?
Absolutely. It is artificial intelligence, but it's not what people consider artificial intelligence. It's instead of turning it into the master, it's being turned into the slave. And secondly, just so everybody knows, artificial intelligence is what the unwashed masses use. If you want to talk to serious people about it, it's advanced intelligence.
Oh, okay.
So you start dropping the word advanced intelligence, you're going to get the serious people talk to you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I thought it was hallucinating intelligence.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one great big acid trip, to quote George Carlin.
So I know you can't talk about specific details necessarily because of what you're working on, but I mean, you know, what can you tell us about what you're doing with it?
Okay, well, actually I can, because it was strange. I was preparing for your show, and I happened to get a phone call. And I warned him. I said, you know, I'm going to drop some stuff out there for David. And he's like, okay, go for it. So, you know how you were showing those pictures of those aborted babies and how that political person is exploiting it? This goes to school safety. And I'm sure Alex Jones, you know, speaking of that, we're coming up on your anniversary of you and Alex going your separate ways.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're coming up to March 13th. No, I know what you're talking about, when I got fired. Yeah, but we went our separate ways in March. But it was December before I got booted out the door, before security came around and took my stuff and escorted me out of the place. But yeah, it all began back in March 13th. But I think it was December the 17th that I got officially escorted out.
It could be. I'll never forget that morning. You text me and say, Alex fired me. And I'm like, what? Is he stoned or drunk or something? Let him sober up and talk to him in the morning.
Well, I'd been warned. I gotta say, I'd been warned, and I didn't care. I you know, it's like, I'm not going along with this stuff anyway. But so tell us about getting back to advanced intelligence.
Okay,
or abortion. You were about to say something about abortion, I think. Yeah.
Well, it all dovetails into each other. It's not about abortion. It was about these school shootings and these kids. How children seem to be moving targets and expendable right now. I mean, I don't know where this line of thinking caught fire. And one of the projects that we're working on is securing schools, not only schools, but facilities. I mean, if you have the money, it probably could apply to your house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's non-lethal.
Is this the one where it detects weapons on people using artificial intelligence, or?
Yes, that's one aspect of it. But the other aspect is deploying incorporating quantum magnetics and levitation.
Whoa!
Some of it is
What is quantum magnetics and levitation? Tell us about that first of all. That sounds interesting.
Well, basically, you are installing an invisible shield around the facility through the magnetics. And nothing can penetrate it once it's activated. Well, we're really in the initial stages of exploring this.
Wow. But, so instead of locking the doors and locking the kids in with a lockdown, you just say shields up, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. But now, if you're intruders within the shield, we've got things that they're basically so far from the envisionment of it is along the walls. Well, first off, your security officer, or principal, or whoever designated security person is. Has a sleeve that they put on, and they can control every aspect of the system. If there's an intruder in the building, and you can't lock them out, you can give them a really good nasty blast of some quantum material, and it knocks them on their butt, and you just leisurely go over there and take the AR, their assault rifle away from them and do whatever to them.
Well, maybe you could just play a Yoko Ono song or something, disable them.
Hey, listen, don't tempt me.
We've talked about that before, that's an interesting story. But okay, so how do you disable somebody with quantum material? What is the quantum material that you're shooting at them?
Well, okay, if you're playing with magnetics, you've got to remember these are waves. And, you know, you were talking about Yoko Ono, we were talking about playing with the brown note. You hit them with some quantum magnetics, and it's going to turn them for a loop.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I guess it would. I don't know. I've never been tasered with quantum quantum forces. Well,
nobody has. Yeah, we're playing with it.
That's very sure interesting. That's interesting.
I'm not sure who the guinea pig would be on that experiment.
Maybe Biden will mandate the military to do it. Seems to be a theme with
right.
Him. So,
first layer of protection of like the barrier, and then get past that.
That's how they got the diving tables. I was told when I took my scuba diving course, they said, we just did a trial and error with Navy divers. You know, it's like, okay, you go down this level and you come up and you stay at that level for a certain amount of time. That was just trial and error. It's like, you know, you bring the guy up. It's like, no, that didn't work.
Yeah.
I have to leave him a little bit further down because this guy's all bent. I mean,
y'all give him his full VA benefit.
For a little while is all we need, you know. So
yeah.
Oh man. So that's interesting. You know, it's interesting because I've already seen some stuff where, you know, they're doing. It was some Navy SEALs who put together a company, and they were selling the services to churches and to schools, and saying, you know, we're going to use artificial intelligence to try to analyze if somebody's got a weapon on them or something, and then I guess call somebody who's going to physically intervene.
That is also part of the program right there is what you just said. It is identifying the intruder before the intruder is able to get close enough to the facility.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in theory, if you've got AI giving a warning, which, man, I don't think I'd be able to drive by a school. I am a walking threat. But anyhow. It's up shields and basically identifies the intruder, and that they're looking at other ways, drone technology and whatnot, where it would, in theory, prevent the school shootings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
I've seen this for a while. You know, there was another AI that was called anticipatory intelligence. And they were trying to scope this stuff out, which is a little bit of what you're talking about. When they first started doing it a couple of decades ago, you know, they had AI that was watching people walking around and things like that, and call a SWAT team on somebody who's changing his flat tire because this guy's suspicious. He's walking around this car. He's now squatted down. I can't see it because it couldn't see on the other side of the car that he was changing a tire. And so they call a SWAT team on him. So, you know, hopefully it's getting better than that.
Well, that's why they call it artificial intelligence, and then you had the advanced intelligence.
Yeah, yeah.
So let Elon and them keep playing with artificial intelligence, and you know, let it insult him. I'm sure he enjoys all that, but it's the advanced intelligence you have to look out for.
Yeah. And so I guess we've got a lot of different AIs. We've got artificial intelligence, advanced intelligence, anticipatory intelligence, and I would call the schools aborting intelligence.
Well, it's funny you say that because the system is not as expensive as you may think. I think in theory, we would like to keep it around $1 million to protect a school or a government building or basically your dog if you wanted to. But there's no interest in it. And it was like you were talking about with these abortions. People seem to have, and I say people, government, we're not looking at private people's money, so that, you know, I don't have no pitch for that one. It's just we're trying to get the government to help us out with it. But it's like these, like you were saying with this Planned Parenthood. They got money raining on them. What do? They kill children.
Yeah.
What are we trying to do? Save children. Yeah. And yeah, the duality of it. And we're using technology to do it. Some of this, you know, you're sitting there talking about it. I felt my temper building. And just so happened that I do want you to put this guy on your show one of these days because he'll represent it properly. He was the one I was telling you about. But, you know, my temper's building because he's out looking, not, you know, he's trying to get funding to actually do something that will protect children. And you're sitting here talking about the Planned Parenthood getting all this forgiveness and all this money that rings on them. And what do? They kill children. And it's like, what in the world's going on with our society?
Yeah, yeah. Well, just take a look at the military-industrial complex. I mean, that's, you know, then as Julian Assange said, the goal is not to win a war. The goal is to perpetuate a war, to have it go forever. And you just have Zelensky who comes in and, you know, Biden decrees that he's going to give him, I forget how many millions of dollars, but, you know, Congress is supposed to approve this stuff. I mean, we just are so, what is so out of control, and the weapons that are being sent to Ukraine are leaking like a sieve and going everywhere, including to terrorist organizations. And of course, all the weapons that were left behind in Afghanistan are going to terrorist organizations. I mean, we literally are always, in all of these conflicts, we're arming both sides of the conflict. And knowingly doing so, they continue to put the money there, no accountability whatsoever for any of this stuff. And so, yeah, it's all about killing people. And, you know, on both sides, and they just keep it going. It's amazing.
Well, this technology in theory could apply to individuals where, you know, you could shoot your pew-pews all day long and not harm a person. But they're more fixated on taking weapons away than the next level solution.
Well, even to take away bulletproof vests, right? Oh, we got to take away bullets.
Yeah, you're not even allowed to.
Yeah. And you know, you shouldn't be allowed to sell an insert that somebody could put in their backpack and then use their backpack as a shield. Oh, no, can't have that. Can't have that.
No, I mean, it makes it harder to kill them.
Yeah.
And we got to kill stuff, remember?
Yeah. I talked about that at one point in time. At one point, InfoWars, I don't know if they still sold or not, they had a bulletproof thing, and it was a size that you could insert it into your backpack. And there was a situation where this guy had mental illness issues and he'd gone to the FBI and he said, you know, I need to take a look at me or whatever, but he couldn't get them interested. And he winds up getting on a plane in Alaska and flying to Florida. And he was able to go through all the airport security and somehow he took a pistol with him and they never caught it. Of course, you know, TSA's failing significantly many times, but he gets to Florida and he starts shooting people in the baggage claim area. And so I said, you know, well, if you had one of these things in your backpack that you could take on with you on the plane, since they won't let you, a normal person, take a take a gun, but they'll let a psycho take a gun. I said, at least you could use this as a shield. And I was attacked by the Daily Beast or somebody. They said, look at this. He's shamefully profiteering off of this shooting. It's like, what? How is that profiteering off of a shooting? It's crazy. But anyway,
that's, yeah, yeah. you know, what's next? Are we profiteering off these school shootings? That's right. This, we're living in crazy land. Nothing makes sense anymore.
That's right.
I was struck by that when I was doing the research. You know, you said you wanted to do of cybersecurity, which, and I was struck by just how absolutely ridiculous this is. Last night when we were talking about this, I sent you that article I had written.
Yeah.
From 2016, addressing infrastructure stuff that everybody's going on with. The Chinese are doing it. The hackers are doing it. All they've done is change the names.
Yes.
They've changed the technological names.
Yes.
And this is almost like 8-10 years ago. It's like, hey, people, here's how you fix it.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's so frustrating. It's like this, every project that where you're trying to advance things and do something that's a benefit, something that is beneficial to society, you're ridiculed for.
Yeah, yeah.
Or it's like you with the school backpack. Well, wait a minute. You're just trying to save a kid.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you sent me the article. This is something you wrote back in, I think it was 2016, if I'm correct or not. Black Energy 3 Trojan and the Ukrainian infrastructure attack. Now, we've just had, in the last couple of days, the biggest Ukrainian infrastructure attack that they have seen. But you talked about this, what is it, seven or 8 years ago, and it was something that happened December the 15th through January of December the 26th, 2015, through January the 2nd, 2016, as you wrote, a massive worldwide surge in cyber attacks. I truly thought a global cyber war had kicked off. I'm still suspicious if this was rehearsal for a big show. And here we are nearly a decade later. So what do you think is
happening? Talking about it.
And, yeah.
Well, you see that time frame that was used on that Ukrainian exploit? That time frame's coming up because, but people don't understand this. In the holidays, everybody takes off. So, from about December 20 through January 2nd or 3rd, this is hackers' fun time. Everybody's off. You've got the fourth spring guys sitting there. The guys straight out of the Internet School of Cybersecurity with their, you know, their degree sitting there, and they don't know what's going on. I mean, they barely protect their own laptop, much less the whole system. And if this is going to go off this year, I would suspect that it's going to go off between December 20 and January 2nd and 3rd.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, you get the Obama movie out, and then you've got all these warnings, you know, red lights, warning. And it makes me suspicious. And, you know, like 8 years ago, nothing's changed, only the names.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer Black Hat Hackers.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I've got a little 30-second clip here about people talking about the Washington Post saying there's a whole bunch of Chinese cyber attacks. I want to talk to you about that. Here's a 30-second clip.
What's up, guys? John here. Are you ready for the massive cyber attack? Because it could have just started. China has now alleged to have attacked the U.S. infrastructure.
Hackers affiliated with China's People's Liberation Army have infiltrated critical services here in the U.S.
This is 1.1 million views in the last couple hours. Every mainstream media outlet is talking about this. But what they're not talking about is this eerie connection between Barack Obama's movie that just came out, and I watched it last night. It's pretty shocking because everything that they were talking about in this movie is now happening today.
Yeah, I talked about that yesterday. And of course, the little clip that I played, is a cyber apocalypse has happened. And it was Netflix money that they gave to Barack Obama and Michelle Obama. And what they produced was this cyber apocalypse. And the little clip there is like, and one more thing, don't trust any white people. You know, it's like, So I mean, that's what they're selling, racism in the midst of an apocalypse. I mean, these people will never stop with their hatred of white people. It's amazing to me. So what's going on? I mean, is it really something? How do they know, for example? I'm suspicious right away because it's a Washington Post. And I'm also suspicious because, you know, we've had Vault 7. And, you know, that's been put out a few years ago, and that was the tools from our government about how they could spoof to be anybody that they wanted. They could look like they were any country anyone that they want to do when they hacked into other people. And now not only the manual, but then eventually the code got published. And so how can anybody know that this is the Chinese, for example? I mean, it could be the NSA, could be the CIA, right? How do they know?
Well, absolutely. You know, the Chinese, now let's put this, so this is where it gets all really to the point where it's confusing and convoluted. But how do you know that the Chinese haven't recruited a diversity hire to do it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be something you, really you simple. Said, yeah.
You know, what was that congressman, the goofy one, Swalwell?
Which one?
Swalwell. He's dating a communist spy. So, I mean, for all I know, maybe he's behind it. I better not say that. But,
yeah. Yeah.
He had, my point being is.
He had some Chinese honeypot or something that was he was shacking up.
Yeah.
With. Yeah. Eric Swalwell. Yeah.
Whatever became of that? He sent her home, said, honey, we can't do this no more. What happened to that? I mean.
Yeah, we don't care, right? They hold maybe hold some hearings on it, but like every hearing that they hold, they never do anything about it. But yeah, you're right. It could be the very old-fashioned type of thing that's happening. And again, if they break into something, you know, you look at the Washington Post and you look at the fact, oh, it's Chinese that are happening. We've got cyber attacks that are happening. Okay, well, maybe there are cyber attacks that are happening. And you can speak to that if you see that kind of stuff happening. But if there are cyber, that's the only thing we know is there's cyber attacks that are happening. For them to identify the Chinese, we know that is who our government wants to identify as the threat in all particular cases. They want to use it to establish a precedent to shut down social media websites with TikTok. So, of course, the Chinese are going to be behind anything that's bad. But they don't know. I mean, there's absolutely no way that they can know, right?
No, it's trying to form a narrative.
Yeah.
You know, the old school terminology for this was IoT. You know, Internet of Things.
Yeah.
I don't know what grand name they changed it to. Like, they do this. It's very self-serving and confusing when they change the name. It's like black hat hackers are now threat opportunities or threat somethings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but basically, they've been doing this since the dawn of computers. But we've got to change the name of them so that those of us in the know, we can keep our jargon exclusive and other people don't know what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so this is what these guys are doing, is trying to hype this up to the point where they have exclusivity on the narrative. But going back to the infrastructure, we did a pen test, I don't know, 2015, 20, it was way back. It was for a pipeline, a gas pipeline, like Colonial, except it wasn't insiders doing it. We took a feeder line down with a hammer.
a kinetic attack, right? A kinetic attack.
Yeah, the Neanderthal attack. What it was, these little IoT cards are about the size of a credit card, and have you ever had a sprinkler system at your house where it's housed in these little plastic containers where you just pop it open at such time and all that? Well, that's mm-hmm. what they were housed in. But I had a little clip up there that was the security. You walk up there with a pair of wire cutters, cut it off, whack it with a hammer, and it just starts a whole system, the domino effect, and pretty soon you're taking down miles of a pipeline.
Wow.
Just with a hammer.
Yeah.
Well, they haven't improved this. It's still, all these years later, we could write till our fingers fall off telling these people about this, and it's still there.
And you've told me that story about one industry after the other. They'll hire you to identify a threat, you know, figure out where our vulnerabilities are, and you know, so and then report back to us about how you were able to break this system here. And then you report back to them about how easily the system was broken, and they do nothing about it.
They wait till the factory across the street from them exploded and on fire, and then they'll say, well, we better do something about our security. So you give them the solutions and whatnot, and they go, well, this costs a lot. Maybe we'll just ignore it.
Well, I'm feeling lucky. I'm feeling lucky today.
Yeah, we'll keep our fingers crossed.
Yeah, I know. And so we see this over and over again. Now, again, going back to this 2016 thing, you said you were suspicious that it was a rehearsal for something that was bigger. And we've got the World Economic Forum talking about something that is bigger. Here's our favorite Bond villain talking about what else
to
happen.
He's my hero.
Klaus Schwab.
When I grow up,
hang on a second.
Yeah, when I grow up, I want to be like Charles Schwab. Klaus Schwab.
For comprehensive cyber.
Hang on.
Which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack.
This guy can barely contain his enthusiasm, you know, and he does everything except go mwahaha at the end of it. What a cartoon villain he has become, isn't he?
It's amazing. There's a good use for some AI. Put that on there with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's so, you know, he's warning everybody. He's warning everybody, but yeah. You look at what they have at the World Economic Forum about this, and it's almost like, you know, well, if you could do this, then you could get that. You know, it's almost like a manual, you know, like everybody says 1984 was not supposed to be a manual, but they use it that way. And I can imagine that they're using his cyber polygon thing as a manual for what they want to do as well.
Well, it's no different than Dark Winter. Remember?
Yeah, that's right.
You were on top of that. I remember, when I sent that to you way back when, you, the first broadcast you did was like January 3rd. I don't remember if it was 18 or 17.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much heat you caught over that? Well, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're this, you're that. And suddenly, boom. You were the leading authority when they kicked it off.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And
you told me you were seeing a lot of chat about Dark Winter 2. And so let's talk about that. And, you know, is this going to be a real thing, or is it going to be another dress rehearsal? Are they going to amp it up to the next stage? And I think they amped it up to the next stage. But, yeah, it was Dark Winter 2. They had practiced it for 20 years. Essentially, 19 years.
Well, Klaus Schwab sitting here, or Klaus, I keep wanting to call him Charles. Klaus is basically so excited about the plans that they have for everything. He's telegraphing what they have planned in the future.
Yeah, yeah. Then he'll take credit
for it.
He'll take credit for it. I warned everybody. It's like you probably from the blueprints, you know.
Warn everybody. It's no different than the Dark Winter. You know, yeah. These guys are so excited about it that they're telegraphing it years ahead of time. And this, like the clip you played, he can't contain himself. It's like, look what we've done. Just imagine we're going to seize global power because people are like, well, he's a nut. Just ignore him. And the guy's sitting there clearly telegraphing what they have planned.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just a digital Dark Winter.
Yes, yes, exactly. And if we go back to, again, that was 2016. We can talk a little bit more about that. But if you go back to just this last week, stories about what happened in Ukraine. Major cyber attack on Ukrainian mobile operator disrupts banking services and air raid sirens and all the rest of this stuff. They said this is the, they've had a lot of different cyber attacks since the war has happened. But this is the one that had the most impact on anything. Damaged infrastructure at a mobile operator, forcing the company to shut down network connections to contain the incident. They've got about 25 million customers there in the Kiev internet thing that was affected. And so it shut down communications, which also included people being able to be warned about air raid sirens and everything. But it shut down the banking industry. That was the key thing that they did this last week. And so it had a lot of effect. And it seems like it's always, at least so far, not necessarily a direct attack on the grid or on a pipeline or on a bank, but or on planes, but they get these ancillary systems that everybody depends on, and they can't operate their business or safely operate their pipeline or safely operate planes. They attack those things to take down the whole system, and then everybody says, "Oh, well, if we don't have that, we just shut the system down. We can't do anything."
Well, yeah, it's been that way for years. People have been lulled to sleep on this. And those of us that are out here saying, hey guys, you know, here's a real problem you might want to look at. Let's solve it. It's like, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. Go away. Well, here's the data. We're not interested. We're busy. And that's the way the game's played. And yet you've got the techie on the other side, Bill Gates, who I knew since was poor. He was poor. Look at what this guy's doing. He's out there wreaking anarchy, destruction, the whole nine yards, and everybody's taking him like some sort of big authority.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, Bill Gates, he don't need money. The people throw money at him so he can go on and destroy and kill. And it goes back to what we started the conversation with is, what in the world are these people thinking?
Yes. Yes, exactly. Now, you know, when you look at this and you're trying, somebody calls you when they've had a, you know, a lot of times they'll call you to, again, try to find vulnerabilities and identify them for them. But a lot of times they'll call you after something has happened to do an investigation. And you've told me many times that it's usually an inside job. Surprisingly.
It usually is.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, talk a little bit about that. You know, the motivation of these ransomware attacks or some other things like that is usually somebody on the inside. Or more people.
Okay, well, let's say you like to call in. Well, I got to be careful with that one. let's say you're David, you're looking at the retirement at your age, and you're an executive of, let's say, ABC Pipeline, and you're like, I'm really disappointed in my retirement package. How can I fix this? Oh, I know. I can internally launch a ransomware attack and collect millions of dollars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, I just solved my retirement problem.
Yeah, you get a free...
Oh, you want to fire me? Well, I quit. I retired.
You get free room and board in a prison for 20 years if they catch you, right? That's one retirement way.
Well,
yeah.
When's the last time you read about a hacker going to prison for anything?
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
I mean, look at the Colonial Pipeline. When's the last time you heard anything about that? Suddenly they discover it and they drop it like a hot potato.
Mm-hmm. Or take the NOTAM.
And all that guys. I mean, you had the whole East Coast without gasoline for, what, days or a week?
That's right.
And that's some pretty extreme stuff, but you didn't hear about anybody getting charged with anything on that.
That's right. That's right. Or even, you know, if you have a government system, you know, the FAA shut down as many planes as they had on 9/11 aftermath, and that was the NOTAM system, and that went on for something like 12 hours or something like that, and they said, oh, well, you know, it's not a hack. We haven't been hacked. We can't get hacked. And then immediately after they came back online, Canada went down for the same thing, and then that's this auxiliary system that notifies everybody if there's some kind of a problem at an airport or a runway or something like that, and when that thing broke down, they just said, all right, ground the planes. And so I always have believed, it'd be interested to know what you think about this, but I've always believed that the NOTAM shutdown at the FAA and then following with that with Canada, and theirs only lasted about an hour and a half, but it happened sequentially. I've always believed that that was a cyber hack that they didn't want to admit to.
Sure. I mean, I've sent you videos and articles of people literally sitting on the plane hacking it. You know, I mean, you've got to be pretty low IQ to crash, you know, be sitting on a plane, you want to crash what you're flying on. But I mean, they did, it does exist.
I guess they got a Gremlin app for that, right? Just like the Twilight Zone.
Right. Yeah. You know, I mean, I might as well start writing movies about this stupidity, but it'd probably be more productive, but you know, let's go back to, you remember the Norfolk Southern train wreck up in Ohio?
Yeah, yeah.
And how we were looking at that, and I sent you that clip of this railroad worker open up one of the shanties, and here's the computer system, here's here's the radio. Oh, look, the passwords are written on the wall.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, the password to the system. You just walk into the little shed, and it's like, yeah, let's not. We're going to keep losing this thing, and I keep getting calls in the middle of the night. Let's just write the password on the wall here.
Yeah, if I can't remember the password, let's write it on the wall. So all you do is cut the lock off the little shack. You go in there. You can play on the radio. You know, it's like whatever you decide to broadcast on the radio, or you can tap on the computer and have trains doing all kinds of fun things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look at what happened in Ohio. It's the impact that had. And yet you can cut the lock off of a shack and pretty much seize control of a railroad line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, you remember Adam's Family, where Gomez is always crashing his toy trains?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Well, well, you know, you could be doing that in real life. It's so insane. But to put upgrades in there and remember passwords is hard, and we cannot do hard things in this country anymore.
Yeah, it's all the signs are alongside the highway roads. You see them all the time. Warning zombies ahead, warning, T-Rex or whatever. They put all kinds of crazy messages on there. And the reason that happens is because they ship them all with the same password and nobody wants to even change it. You know, the default password is right there in the manual. As you sent me some of the stuff showing that they've got the password in the manual for the other equipment as well.
Absolutely. So, I mean, but it's not just that industry, it's everything. These are the back doors.
Yeah.
These default passwords, it doesn't matter if they disclose what they are or not. It is the back doors that control the system. So instead of relinquishing, when I sell you of software, instead of relinquishing control of it, I have got the back door.
Mm-hmm.
You may not. You, the owner of it, may not, but I do.
Yes. Yes, and you pointed out, you know, there's different levels of it. You know, the developers will put in a back door. The owner might have its own, access with a password. Governments will get their own access to it. So there's all these different people have access to different aspects of the software there with the back doors. And, it is it's amazing to me because as we look at our system becomes more and more complex, and even with the extent as Jack Lawson, who I've talked to many times about all this stuff, he says, you look at how we've got our just-in-time delivery, and so that means that at all these different stages of product manufacturing as well as delivery, you've got all these different links there, and all you have to do is break transportation or break one of those links, and you've got the system all balled up, and then we saw... After he and I talked about that, we saw what they did with the lockdown. And so we have this very fragile system of distribution and manufacturing that is very complicated and distributed. And then we also have all of this automation and computer programs, which are all very vulnerable, very vulnerable. Even mm-hmm. to the extent we're talking about earlier about Vault 7, they stole that from the CIA, the NSA, all these guys who are supposed to be the most sophisticated. They got hacked and had their stuff stolen. We've had all the Pentagon personnel files hacked and stolen and things like that. So none of this stuff is secure. And so the question is, you know, as he pointed out, as the World Economic Forum put out, and let me just show people this. Internet governance, this is from the World Economic Forum. What happens when, somebody underscored that, the internet shuts down? In other words, not a question of if, but it's when it happens. And as they point out in their article, it is, when we're talking about a shutdown, they said, we're talking about the government doing it to its own people. And they're doing this everywhere. But of course, that's authoritarianism. But, you know, who cares, right? When you got...
It's the kill switch.
Yeah, that's right. The kill switch. Yeah.
But you see... Right there, you go back to the WEF. There they are, bright red flashing letters, predicting, well, not predicting, but actually telling you it's going to happen.
That's right. That's right. And saying it's going to happen before 2025 or sometime, in the next few years. So sometime in 2024,
exactly.
Sometime 2025. And so everybody's trying to make a guess as to when it's going to happen. I personally think that it'll be, a situation like we saw with 9/11. Where they'll pull this off after the next election. And I think a large part of that is going to be to try to, this next president who comes in after the 2024 election, he's going to take office in 2025. And he's going to have 4 years, and it's going to take us right through all this 2030 Great Reset stuff that they want, where they want their new society in there by 2030. So I think they will pull something like this off. They will use it to reset the board, to reset society. And I think a lot, regardless of who happens, who happens to win this thing, they're going to be the tool of these people to change society like we saw back in 2020.
You see, the means that they'll accomplish this through will be a new and improved Patriot Act, taking even more rights.
Yes.
I've got the yard people out there, and he seems to want to stay under my office window with the...
That's okay.
Leaf blower.
It's not too loud. It's okay. That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Now, let me ask you about the F-35 thing that happened, because we've just had a story that went public in the South China Morning Post, and it was a Taiwanese lieutenant colonel who has been arrested and charged, and the charging papers, the allegations from the prosecutors about this guy was that he was talking to the Chinese about stealing a Chinook helicopter, American helicopter, and he was going to fly it to a rendezvous place and turn it over to the Chinese, put it on their aircraft carrier. They were going to then give him a new life in Thailand with his and some money with his girlfriend. And so they found out about this and they arrested him. But, you know, when we look at the F-35, you and I were joking about that. You know, the F-35, they've hacked the plans. They've reproduced the plane. Maybe not everything in it, but, you know, maybe they did everything in it. We don't know. We can see the outside. They reproduced it. They hacked the plans. And so it is certainly conceivable that they had the capability to hack into the F-35 and even.
And once again, using the Colonial Pipeline, it was an insider that was going along with the program.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, but do you remember a couple of years ago where the Chinese was actually literally hacking destroyers, American destroyers in the South China Sea? And we were going back and forth on that. And I showed you how they did it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
You know, I'm more worried about a nuclear armed ship being compromised on an F-35.
Yeah, that's right.
But this is all history. And once again, you raise red flag. Hey, they're going to take over your ship. The people, the personnel on the ship, they're just going to be bystanders. And no one will take it seriously. Hopefully, they've been, for all I know, Navy corrected these. Okay, I'm fishing to go throw a brick at the dude with
That's one of the reasons why you were laughing about it with the F-35. You said, can you imagine the surprise of the pilot? He's going on all of a sudden.
What happened. Now that they disclosed it, he's flying alone, minding his own business. He knows he's being ejected out of the plane.
And the only question is, a lot of people said, so then what happened to the plane? And they came up with a cover story that would never made any sense, that, you know, nobody saw this plane. You got one guy that they talked to. It's like, yeah, I heard of it. But did you see anything? No, I didn't see anything, you know. And so supposedly this plane went down right away, but that wasn't the original story. So a lot of people said, they hack this thing and they fly it to a rendezvous where they can, grab this thing, or what really happened with it? But I don't know. Have you heard anything else about that F-35?
No. Oddly enough, it's like the Colonial Pipeline. Yeah. It just goes dark. You know, give everybody 30 seconds, their attention span time, and don't forget about it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just, you know, anybody brings it up, call them a conspiracy theorist. You know, hey, you know, we already told you what happened there. No, you didn't. Yeah, we did, conspiracy theorist. Okay, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's the way the program works now.
Absolutely, yeah. And going back to this article about Black Energy 3, the Trojan, that you talked about back in 2016. Again, this is a Ukrainian electric grid attack. And at the time, you said a lot of this stuff is smoke and mirrors. You said, but pay attention to this one thing. What was it that they should pay attention to?
You know, David, that's been so long ago, I don't remember. Remind me.
You got Black Energy 3 plugins, a file system, operation system information, parasitic infector, fact that it was remote. You believe that it was remote execution.
Yes. Okay, it was a RAT, remote access, basically remote access control. And I mean, if you can install the malware that's RAT, I mean, you pick your facility. Let's say Three Mile Island, just because it's infamous. I could sit here on my iPhone and have Three Mile Island doing all kinds of neat stuff. No different than what happened in Iran with their nuclear reactors. Well, their program overspeed the system to where it collapses and puts them out of business for years. It was basically that type of thing. You don't have to go in there and create explosions and chaos. You can destroy equipment that takes years to rebuild.
Yes, yes.
You know.
And especially when you look at how, you know, when I was talking to Jack Lawson last week, he said, yeah, okay, we got this cybersecurity stuff. But he goes, look, you know, you can, and we've already had a situation, not a theoretical, you can have a situation where some people can come in with a gun and shoot up a transformer. And it takes a long time to get those transformers replaced. And when you look at the fact that our borders are wide open, it's no wonder, yeah. You know, that's just that's a physical example of how cavalier and disinterested our own government is about protecting this country, its infrastructure, and other things. Because any state enemy of ours, you know, we're talking about the Iranians or the Chinese or whatever, they could all just walk through the border and they could just start, you know, positioning themselves in place and taking out our entire electric grid with physical damage that isn't going to be booted back up again. They could do that very easily.
Do you find it strange they all qualify as a diversity hire?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And diversity spies. What we got?
Yeah. You know, and yet it goes back to what we were talking about with the Patriot Act and the TSA. You and I cannot get through the airport. We're American citizens. We have really, well, I don't have any reason to harm America. But like the other 99% of Americans, we don't really want to blow up where we live. Mm-hmm. But you look at us, we're being molested, scanned, poked, prodded, everything else, just get on a stupid airplane. And you've got millions of who knows who coming across the border, spreading out, and
yeah.
Hey, welcome to America.
Oh yeah, yeah. They, you know,
I mean, how serious are they about security?
They lock the border down with the Trump orders. Nobody's coming into this country. Blah blah blah. But then when they have the illegal aliens, they were flying them around, you know, like Typhoid Mary, if they really believed this narrative. They don't have to wear any mask, and we're going to transport them from point A to point B, and no issues at all about that. We just had a picture. I saw a report. I didn't get into details of, but they got a picture of a guy who stenciled on a Nazi swastika on, I think it was a Jewish building or something is why he did it. And yet they got him on surveillance footage, and it was a Chinese guy, and it was an illegal alien Chinese guy. Now, what he's trying to do is he's trying to create social friction by doing that, putting a swastika on a Jewish facility. But he's a Chinese guy coming in to do this, just trying to mix it up, you know, just trying to get people fighting with each other.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the programs. But I think it was you and Joe Biggs that went down to the border. And didn't y'all, or was it just Joe Biggs himself that found that Al-Qaeda camp right across the border?
No, that's Joe Biggs. So I wasn't with him. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. Well, I knew you and Joe ran some exploits, and y'all really.
Yeah.
Yeah, you really uncovered some eyes. It was startling stuff.
We got into the asymmetric warfare facility at the place that's now been renamed something else, but it was at the time it was AP Hill. And yeah, but Joe went to the border on his own and found that camp there.
Well, I'm quite sure if they have a camp sitting there on the border, they're probably already here. I mean, I'm just making crazy guesses, but why would Al-Qaeda have a camp on the border?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And what are they up to?
And they probably got lots of pallets of $100 bills and weapons that were left behind in Afghanistan as well, don't you think?
Yeah, they have all kinds of cool stuff that we aren't, you know, Patriot Act forbids us from having.
Yeah.
You know, look at the, I forget their names, those guys out in Oregon that you were doing those exposés on. Look how they were treated. What were they doing? They were running cattle on land.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've got the government out there shooting them.
Yeah.
Yet we have Al-Qaeda on the border. We have people roaming around this country. We don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. We have the cartels.
Again.
And yet we have the Patriot Act to keep us safe.
Yeah. As you're talking about that, it is, you know, it is painfully obvious to everybody that our government does not care about protecting Americans. It is trying to protect itself from Americans. It's trying to surveil Americans, and it's trying to protect power abroad, and it cares about the borders of other countries, but not about our own countries. And I think a good example of this is this Section 702 reauthorization. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors that are happening with this. Whether or not this is in, you know, whether it's going to be in the NDAA or they're going to vote on it today, Thomas Massie yesterday said, I'm a hell no on reauthorization of the FISA 702 program that allows warrantless surveillance of Americans, but it looks like the Senate will attach it to the National Defense Authorization Act tomorrow, meaning today, and the House will probably vote on it on Thursday. Shame, he says. And other people are saying that this is like the Patriot Act on steroids. Because one of the things that it's doing, and I wanted to ask you this, Goetrie, one of the things that is different about this one is that, you know, prior to this, the government has been able to compel anybody that provides communications, like phone companies and things like this, they can compel them to give information. But now this would give them the authority to compel anybody anywhere that is around any computer system whatsoever. I mean, it could just be a person doing maintenance. It could be a hotel or a restaurant or a coffee shop where you sign on to their Wi-Fi, and it could compel them to turn over their records or to spy on you and other things like that. I mean, they're really extending this. I mean, what does it tell us about our own government when they are this paranoid and conspiratorial? These are the real conspiracy.
You know, you're talking about that. And years ago, I told you about the long lines building. Here's your listeners a project. Do a search on a long lines building. The original one was in New York, and it became public, and they shut it down. Now you've got long lines buildings in all the major cities. Okay, the program they use, the exploit's called Titanfall, TitanFall. They've been doing this for years. It was illegal. Now they're trying to make it legal.
Yeah.
Secondly, AT&T was hacked a couple of years ago. You had, quote, hackers take all this information. Everything you have, if you have an AT&T account, they took it. Credit, everything. You know how AT&T got out of any kind of penalties or anything for that?
Oh.
They said, look at your user agreement. You agreed to this.
Yeah.
So that's how they get away with this. And there's never no penalties, because when you sign the user agreement, you're basically giving them your permission to hack you.
Yes. And they've laid this foundation quite carefully and done it iteratively over a period of time. If we go back and we look at AT&T in the middle of the 20th century, where they were the phone company, had a monopoly essentially, and they had they would collect you know, PIN numbers on people, and it was actually taken to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, well, if you're using them for your phone service, that means all the information that they have on you belongs to them, not to you. And so they can come to them and ask them, I'd like to have all the information about David Knight. They don't have to. You're not saying, well, I'm compelling you to do this. Here's my search warrant. Then you just go to them and say, I'd like to have all that information. And they can voluntarily turn it over. As a matter of fact, on January the 6th, we saw the Bank of America voluntarily, quote unquote, voluntarily, and I guess maybe they did try to curry favor, but they voluntarily gave information to the FBI about anybody who bought anything anywhere around, you know, Washington, D.C. on those dates, as well as anybody who bought guns anywhere, and let them coordinate all that stuff. And also about people who are flying. So you got all these different corporate spies out there who are putting the stuff in. And that was a key thing about CISPA and ACTA and SOPA and PIPA. And CISPA, C-I-S-P-A, Cybersecurity Infrastructure Act, they pulled out the P. The P was there to protect the companies who were going to turn the data over to them. It was to protect them from lawsuits from customers, because
but you can't sue them because you're giving them permission to turn it over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's in your user agreement.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think part of it was, you know, you had some companies who did not want to turn it over. And so, you know, they could say, well, I don't want to do this, and I might get sued because I don't have it in my user agreement. And so the government comes through with this new legislation and says, no, I'm not going to let them sue you. So now turn it over to me. You don't have to remove their excuse, to remove anything where they would push back on this with reluctance. They said, no, We've indemnified you against that. So now give us their information. And now they're taking it to the next step. You know, it's not just going to be your phone company, your internet service provider. It's going to be any business anywhere, a restaurant, a coffee shop, anybody, a motel. All of them are going to be turning this stuff over to the feds.
Yeah, but that applies to us, the United States citizens, not the illegals.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, you have to sit back and question what the motives are.
Mm-hmm.
That's like with this technological security and these technological advances. There's none being made. You know, we go back to Ukraine. We're reading what they're predicting right now in Ukraine. Ukraine seems to have become the petri dish of the world. I mean, you know, okay, we got a new killing system. Let's give it to their military. If they get blown up, who cares?
Yeah.
Oh, look, let's hack their infrastructure. Oh, look, we can launder money on an industrial scale there.
And that's what I think has been about a lot of
these. I don't know.
I think that's what's been the base of a lot of these wars since Vietnam. As I said before, you know, Vietnam was really about them testing out weapon systems. We don't care who gets killed. Let's just stay there. Yeah. We'll refine and test our systems. It'll be a test bed. Oh, okay, the Vietnam War is over. Let's have another one somewhere else. They just keep these wars going. And as you said, it's a petri dish for all of this stuff. We can test cyber warfare. We can test kinetic warfare. We got all these different weapons that we can test. Let's just keep the war going.
Exactly. And going back to what I was telling you at the start, where if you actually were able to use quantum magnetics and quantum levitation and all this quantum technology, it were right on the cusp of deploying, you could end all that. Can you imagine the horror that you have a net over a whole country and you can't have a war because bullets are basically frozen in air?
Yeah, that is amazing. It is. We're getting to some real sci-fi stuff. And of course, you know, they're starting to deploy laser beam, or should say high energy directed beam technology, or whatever you want to call it, as anti-ballistic stuff as well. But, you know, just real quickly, back to the 702 thing. One of the reasons that you look at this, a lot of people poo-poo it, say, it's nothing new and it's nothing dangerous and there's nothing to see here, move on. But one of the reasons that a lot of people are concerned about this is because you had a FISA court, friend of the court, posted a blog to warn people about this. And as one person said, I can't overstate how unusual it is for a FISA court amici to take to the airwaves in this manner. And so they're concerned about this and how it's going to be used internally. And we'd be foolish to ignore it. But this is our own government. To hack our identities, to follow us, to spy on us with everything. And of course, that seems to be every day. I see this innumerable ways that they want to, follow us, track us, index, brief and debrief us, as the prisoner said in number six. I mean, it's just this insatiable appetite to put us in an open air prison.
Look, don't forget brain chips and chips and all that they want you to have too after they vaxxed you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing about our friend Musk. It's like, so you're telling me that we can trust the world's richest man who became that rich because he did everything the governments around the world wanted him to do. And he's also a technocrat and a transhumanist. So, yeah, what's to worry about? Who wants to hack into our minds, you know?
It depends on what mood Elon wakes up with. You know, is he going to be good today or is he going to destroy the world?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it truly is.
And as long as he keeps up the facade, well, I'm defending free speech. Well, Elon must be good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think he's playing a long game there.
He has to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a game that he's playing that is going to be for his own good, because that's the way these guys operate. There's not any of these billionaires out there who are altruistic saviors, but everybody wants to believe that. It truly is amazing. There is no Tony Stark out there. That's a creature of the comic books, and it is comical that people continue to think that and to place their hope on that. It truly is amazing to me. But, of course... Yeah. We got Trump, who is cutting up the suit that he took his mugshot in and is selling it off for thousands of dollars to suckers. I mean, it's amazing what these people will do. And it's amazing. I don't fault Trump as much as I do the people who are sending him the money and following everything and making him their little demigod. I mean, it's just amazing to watch this happen. And it's never ceases to amaze me how these people, here we are 3 years after all this stuff, and people still haven't caught on, and they get furious with me. It's just unbelievable, you know, when I start to tell them about this. They don't.
Yeah, you know, it's like tax-paying citizens. You point out, hey, dudes, y'all are funding your own demise. And they're like, shut up, conspiracy theorist. Yeah, without the funding, none of this could happen.
That's right. That's right. Well, we certainly do have an out-of-control government, and we have a government that's not interested in addressing known vulnerabilities. And as you've seen, it's not just the government, but it's also individual corporations. As you know, they hire you to tell them what's wrong, and then they don't do anything about it. We've got the Congress who will hold a hearing, but they will never do anything about anything. So that's kind of where we are right now. We're kind of paralyzed in this system that is, and it's really strange how everybody's just kind of frozen and watching it happen. It seems to be no way to get anybody to activate, to do anything about it. And even in their own interests, you know, when you look at these people in Congress, they are, when they allow us to be censored, us to be spied upon, of course, they're somebody that is an interesting person, and they're going to get the same treatment in spades, and they don't care about it. Truly is amazing. Well, it's always great talking to you, GoTree, and thank you for coming on and talking to us about this. People need to be aware of this, and you need to be aware that you can do some things about this, even if the people in power are not going to do anything about it. Always good to talk to you, GoTree. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure, David. You take care, and I hope your health gets better. Man, you made a really good Christmas album.
Well, thank you. I really do appreciate it. By the way, thanks for the plug. Find it at thedavidknightshow.com, and you can get a download version of that there. So thank you, GoTree. I appreciate that. And thank you to everybody.
Sure thing. Anytime.
Thank you. Thank you. All right. Have a good day, everybody.
If you like the Eagles, on a dark desert highway, the Cars, and Huey Lewis in the News, they say the hotter rock and roll is competing, you'll love the Classic Hits channel at APS Radio. Download our app or listen now at APSradio.com.
The David Knight Show is a critical thinking super spreader. If you've been exposed to logic by listening to the David Knight Show, please do your part and try not to spread it. Financial support or simply telling others about the show causes this dangerous information to spread farther. People have to trust me. I mean, trust the science. Wear your mask, take your vaccine, don't ask questions.
Using free speech to free minds, it's the David Knight Show.